Should Christians use preferred pronouns as a matter of respect for other persons? Or should Christians decline to use preferred pronouns in order to speak truth? Hi, I'm Rex Rogers, and this is episode number 145 of Discerning What is Best, a podcast applying unchanging biblical principles in a rapidly changing world and a Christian worldview to current issues in everyday life. Misgendering, a word most of us would not have recognized a mere 10 years ago, is now a matter of controversy in American culture. Misgendering means to identify the gender of a person, such as a non-binary or transgender person, incorrectly, as by using an incorrect label or pronoun. For example, call a woman identifying as a man she, and you are guilty of misgendering. Deadnaming is a similar, relatively new word that refers to the act of calling a transgender or non-binary person by a name they used prior to transitioning, such as their birth name. Usually this involves a person who has gone from a masculine or feminine given name to one they believe better aligns with their gender identity. Enormously successful Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling has been criticized, demeaned, made a victim of efforts to cancel or silence her, and threatened with arrest in Scotland simply because she believes a woman is a woman, values her life experience as a woman, and has had the temerity to say so. The issue of gender pronouns has become controversial because some activists want people who self-identify as transgendered to be called by their gender pronouns of choice, what are now called preferred pronouns. For fear of offending someone, people are being encouraged, or in many corporate environments required, to say things like, "Hi, I'm John, and I go by he, him, nice to meet you," or, "Hi, I'm Akeem, and I go by they pronouns, how should I refer to you?" Theoretically, these actions help make workplaces more inclusive of transgender, gender nonconforming, and gender nonbinary people. The rationale goes like this: using appropriate pronouns, or new names, is a first step toward respecting people's gender identity and creating a more welcoming space for people of all genders. Intentionally calling someone by the wrong pronoun, or the old name, can make them feel disrespected or alienated and can take a toll on their mental health. It is also offensive and can be considered harassment. Now, employees in some Christian organizations are declaring they wish to use preferred pronouns, indicating they are personally identifying as, or at least are supporting, gender status other than male or female. Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois, recently updated its policy handbook. The college explains that stating pronouns violates school policy, and that anything beyond saying he, him, and she, her is outside a, quote, created reality of biological binary, unquote. So this is a current controversy, and it is not going to go away because misgendering, preferred pronouns, dead naming, and related vocabulary battles are where the ideological wars are being fought. That is why it is disconcerting to hear Christians, or even conservatives in general, using words like partner, for it denotes no gender, no relationship status that involves exclusivity or fidelity. This normalizes whatever someone does sexually, and it removes gender from the mix. It's even more disconcerting to hear television anchors replace mothers and traditional language with words like birthing people, chest feeders, people who menstruate, egg producer. Gender pronouns are inscrutable, but that's really the whole point. The bane of the American left is meaning, and they're engaged in total war. The left understands very well that if they control language, they control thought. But assenting to someone's gender pronouns isn't just a matter of politeness or an easy means to avoid conflict, nor is it a matter of affirming someone's preference. Bending the knee to gender pronouns is affirming a lie. Denying something so primal, so fundamental, is intellectually and spiritually suicidal. You host and propagate the worst kind of lie, the kind you tell yourself. In doing so, you cripple your ability to reason, suffocate conscience, and unmoor yourself from reality. Moreover, having accepted the irrational, you become complicit in the self-destruction of those within your power to rescue. Does loving our neighbor demand that we accept their false values? No. In 1 John 3:18, we're reminded, quote, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Pronoun madness is a post-Christian culture malady. As of late last year, 81 possible gender identity hybrids had achieved some kind of recognition, and they come with associated pronouns. New on the block are neo-pronouns. Neo-pronoun can be a word created to serve as a pronoun without expressing gender. Examples are z, zer, or zers, spelled with an X or spelled with a Z, I, am, or ear, starting with an E, as opposed to he, him, his, or she, her, hers. With neo-pronouns, a person's pronouns don't need to reflect the gender binary. Gender becomes a creation of the individual and loses almost any connection to the physical world. A subset of neo-pronouns is noun self-pronouns, a pre-existing word drafted into use as a pronoun. Noun self-pronouns can refer to animals, so your pronoun could be something like kitten or kitten self. Others refer to fantasy characters like vamp or vamp self or princess, princess self. If our sexual and gender identities are no longer expressions of our biological sex and our bodies, then there's no stopping a person from identifying as the opposite sex, no sex, both sexes, or non-human things like animals, objects, fictional characters, or even abstract concepts. Without the human body as a source of one's identity, "I am a woman trapped in a man's body" becomes just as plausible as "I am a wolf trapped in a human body." Now, pronouns have become expressions of one's self-proclaimed identity, a claim that proponents insist that everyone must affirm, or else. Gender is no longer correlated to an empirical reality like the body, but has become a mere expression of one's own self-perception or self-declaration. It has become, like so many other things, a mode of expressive individualism. Now, pronoun madness is a spiritual virus to which we must respond. Lovingly, yes. Caringly, yes. Never hating, yes. But still, recognizing there is a different set of values being pushed upon us, upon American culture, and upon the next generations. Values that are irrational, nihilistic, ungodly, and deadly. Even former President Nixon, a person whose own moral conscience went astray, once observed that many make the mistake of thinking that conflict is the result of misunderstanding rather than difference of belief. Now, he was correct. What we're talking about here regarding the intentional change of vocabulary is not resolvable via dialogue around a campfire in Aspen. It's not about two equally worthy points of view with a peaceful consensus somewhere in the middle. It's about fundamental differences in belief about God, the created order, humanity created in God's image, and truth. Now, I recognize that in cases of professional or personal relationships, believers may feel that it's better to pick their battles rather than take a rigid stance on such terms. I realize that for some, the choice not to use preferred pronouns, i.e. to misgender, could threaten one's employment. Yet while Christians need to be careful and respectful, respect cannot extend to endorsing ideas that the Bible calls false. This helps no one. Well, we'll see you again soon. This podcast is about discerning what is best. If you find this thought-provoking and helpful, follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Download an episode for your friends. And for more Christian commentary, check my website, REXM as in Martin, that's rexmrogers.com. And remember, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm.